question recently came up in the halakha regarding ladies and their obligation with the mezvav tefillin. This is an old question that actually is discussed in the Gemara Kedushin on Daf Lamedvav. The Gemara questions, are ladies obligated in this great mitzvah? The Gemara says that tefillin falls into the category of a mitzvah tasir shazman gerama. It's bound by time. It's time restricted. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbat, so it constrains the time of tefillin. We don't wear tefillin at night, according to some shittut. So therefore, since it's bound by time, ladies are exempt from all those type of mitzvot. The Gemara gives a few examples. Gemara says sukkah, lulav, shofar. Again, sukkah is 7 days, lulav is 7 days, shofar is 1 day. And therefore, there's a rule that kol mitzvat aseh shazeman gerama, nashim peturot, tefillin falls into that category. The question then would be, if a lady wants to fulfill these mitzvot, is she allowed to? So the Gemara says that indeed, if a lady wants to fulfill a mitzvah that she's exempt from, she has a right to do it, and not only she has a right to do it, that she gets reward. Therefore, if a lady wants to shake a lulav on Sukkot, or if a lady wants to hear shofar, which our ladies come to Bet Knesset on Rosh Hashanah to hear shofar, we see it. And if a lady wants to sit in the sukkah, which our ladies sit in the sukkah, even though from the technical law they don't have to burden themselves, but if they do burden themselves, it's not a burden, it's a pleasure for them to sit in the sukkah or shake lulav or hear shofar. Not only tabu alehim beracha, but yesh lahim sachar. They have a ton of reward. The question then would be, can they make a beracha when they do these mitzvot? So we hold like Maran that says the custom of the Sephardim is that ladies, that if they're exempt from the mitzvah, they don't make a beracha. They can't say, Asher kedeshanu mitzvah v'sivanu. How can they say v'sivanu? They're not obligated. But they can do it as volunteers, but not as a v'sivanu. So the question then again is, what about the mitzvah of tefillin? Well, based on what we're saying here today, it has a mitzvah tasir shazman gerama. We said ladies could do mitzvot voluntarily, they just can't make a beracha. Does tefillin follow that rule? Seemingly it should, but there are some other problems that have to be dealt with. The first problem is what the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel writes in Parashat Ki Tetze. When the Torah writes, Lo yehye keli gever al isha, that a lady is not allowed to wear the instruments or the garments of a man. So that means cannot wear clothes, things that are uniquely manly garments. A lady is not allowed to wear. That's Isu Deoraita. Interestingly enough, the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel in his commentary writes from here that a lady is not allowed to wear sisit or tefillin because that's considered keli geber. While shofar is not a garment, and sukkah is not a garment, and lulav is not a garment, so there's no problem for them to do these mitzvot. But here there's an external issue. It should be noted that the Ben Ish Hai brings this logic in Parashat Lech Lecha in his halachot. There is another issue that has to be discussed, and that is what the Tosfot talks about in Eruvin, and it's brought down in Kolbo. Bet Yosef brings it down in Siman Lamed Chet. Tefillin needs what's called guf naki. Needs a clean body. Certainly, we all have this obligation. Men as well have to be careful that their bodies are clean when they put on the tefillin. We know the law says, if God forbid somebody has a stomach problem or gas or things like this, that compromises his guf naki, and therefore he would not be able to wear tefillin, not be able to, it's asur. So the Tosafot writes, and the Kolbo writes in the halakha, that ladies cannot wear tefillin because guf naki. Isha becomes nida, something natural, it's a blessing, That means there's fertility, but since there is a constant issue of gufnaki by the ladies, maybe more than the men, so he says they should not wear tefillin because of that reason. It should be noted that the Rama in Siman Lamidchet clearly writes that ladies, if they want to wear tefillin, yesh limchot biyadam, we protest against it. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Hafetz Chaim, because of the problem of gufnaki. So you see already we have two strikes against ladies wearing tefillin. Number one, Kili Gever, and number two, it's a problem of gufnaki, and the Rama writes, yesh limchot, that if they want to, we have to protest. There's a third issue that the Ben Ish Chai brings down in Parashat Lech Lecha, and that's the inyan of mechziki yuhara, that we're not allowed to do things that cause us to stand out, things that are not halachically mandated, but we want to be strict on ourselves, but it's not a social norm. People don't do that. It's not an accepted practice. So that's called yuhara. It's an act of hubris. It's an act of superiority, and you're not allowed to do that. Imagine if we would see somebody walking in the street wearing tefillin all day long. You know, unless he was the Gadol Ador, we would say, hey, what are you wearing tefillin at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of the street? No, I started to wear tefillin all day long. Who's doing that? Chama Avadia Yosef didn't do that. The greatest tzaddikim, most of them don't do that. You know, who are you to do that in front of everybody? So such practice would arouse, you know, the people's questioning, strange behavior. Clearly, the Ben Ish Chai writes that if a lady would wear a talet, you know, in the ladies section we're talking, or a lady would wear tefillin for that matter, it's strange, it's odd, we never saw it. Most of the ladies do not wear tefillin. So this would be something that's moving away from the normal practice. I mean, to arouse the curiosity of the people, one is not allowed to do that. Not only by talit and tefillin, but by any mitzvah that's not obligated. And therefore, Ben Ish Chai writes that you have the concern of yuhara. It should be pointed out. So there's three reasons already that are against ladies wearing tefillin. Number one, the Keligever issue of Yonatan ben Rosiel. Number two, the Gufnaki issue, which the Rama brings down as the Halakha. And then now you have the yuhara issue as well. It should be pointed out that some might argue that today's social norms have changed. After all, ladies are much more active in religious activity than they were many years ago. One proof might be that we see today ladies study Torah maybe more than they did in the olden days, which is true, and we see that ladies are even becoming fluent in halakha to great degrees, are they answering questions in halakha and things like this. However, it should be noted that even those schools that empower ladies with these new social norms, like teaching them to become poskot, rulings in halakha and things like that, they themselves do not propose for ladies to wear tefillin. I direct you to the sefer called She'elot U'Tshuvot B'nei Banim that was written, is written by Rabbi Henkin, that is very tolerant towards new social norms when it comes to ladies. And he himself writes in Chelek Bet that ladies should not wear tefillin. Lady asked him and he said, should not. So it seems even those that push the social norms, when it comes to tefillin, they say you don't need it. His lashon is to the girl, she should find different ways to connect herself to God, not through tefillin. The final opinion that must be noted is the opinion of the Shilte Geburim, which is found in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Tet. The Shilte Geburim writes that it's asur for a lady to wear tefillin because it's miderech achitzonim. It's the way of the chitzonim of the, you know, the ones that are distorting Torah. I'm not sure exactly what type of chitzonim existed in the times of Shetei Geburim, which he lived 500 years ago about, in the times of Maran, the Yosef Karo, which type of chitzonim cult were trying to, you know, put ladies to wear tefillin, but his ruling is asur. So it seems that's the consensus. The Kafahim brings it down as well in Siman Lamed Chet. Chaim David Yosef brings it down in his Halakha Berura, also in Siman Lamed Chet. And they all conclude that not only is it not advisable, but it's wrong. And if ladies come to us to wear tefillin, we must protest, and we must rebuke, and we must discourage them. That's the same ruling as well as the Aruch HaShulchan, also in Siman Lamed Chet. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that, you know, it's enough that we allow men to wear tefillin, even though a lot of them have gufnaki problems. Now you want to go and put ladies that are exempt and put them in a problem of gufnaki, you know, it's even by the men already, he's you know, pushing it that we allow them to wear it because of gufnaki. So for the ladies, not necessary. He asks about what the Gemara says, the great tzaddik at Michal Bat Shaul, that she, you know, what tefillin, the Gemara says in Erubim Tzadivam. Everybody answers Michal differently. Michal was a tzaddiket, and she had gufnaki. The Gemara Torah says she never had a child, so it could be that's why she had no problem of gufnaki. They answer Michal, but it's clear that we cannot draw inferences from Michal, but Shaul, which is the only example that the Shas brings of a lady that wore tefillin. It seems that that was it's a rare occurrence. So to draw an inference and say, well, she did it, therefore that's accepted practice. In 2,800 pages of Shas, you have one example of a lady wore tefillin. And according to the text of the Yerushalmi and the Psikta, it says that they protested against her when she wore tefillin. So you can't even bring a proof from there. Adrabah, you bring a proof to the side that it was protested. But all this is halachic. The question then is, today, in our modern times, we don't see too many ladies that are wearing tefillin or that have a concern to wear tefillin or really want to wear tefillin. It's just not yeshivot. You don't see it. You don't see it in the synagogues that we pray in. Our grandparents, great-grandparents, this wasn't their mitzvah. Where you do see it and where it comes up is in conservative and reform movements, where you see this practice is done more prevalently. And also you see some that use this mitzvah tefillin as an agenda to promote feminism and to promote equality. Everybody would agree that if you're wearing the tefillin to promote an ideology, is asur. Even the rabbis who would posek, let's say, that it's okay for a lady to wear tefillin, assuming she has gufnaki, assuming that there's no problem of kli geved, assuming that there's no problem of yuhara, let's take all the halachic issues away. But she's wearing it because she wants to show that she's equal to a man. And that, you know, she wants to right all the injustices that the Torah has against women. If that's what's driving her, then clearly that is asur. Like the Mishnah says, Pirkei Avot, Udishtamesh betaga halaf. That somebody that uses taga is the keter of the Torah. Somebody that uses the keter of the Torah, halaf, will be done away with. Mashallah adabar domeh. If somebody in the yeshiva, you'd see them changing a light bulb while they're standing on a chumash. And you say, what are you standing on the chumash for? It's like, I can't reach the light. But so using the chumash to serve a purpose other than learning? So those that want to wear tefillin, not because they want to attach themselves to God, not because they want to be connected, not because they have the kedushah Michal Bat Shaul, they want to wear tefillin because they want to show that we could do it also. And don't kid yourselves, those groups exist today as well. So on them, the Mishnah says, be careful. Although man cannot judge another man, but God knows their intention. If their intention is Lashem Shamayim. The Bnei Yisachar writes that there are 403 words in the Tefillin. He counted them. Tefillin is written in Parashat Bo. So he said a derasha would ishtamesh betaga. Betaga is the crown, but betaga, the middle letters of betaga is tag. That's 403. Hinting to the 403 words in the Tefillin. And betaga, the first letter is a bet, and the last letter is an aleph, which is Parashat Bo, which is the parashah of Tefillin. With ishtamesh betaga, those that are using the Tefillin of the 403 words in Parashat Bo, those that are using it for their own purposes, halat. But that's from a hashkafic standpoint. From a halakhic standpoint, clearly from the Rama, from the Aruch HaShulchan, from the Kaf HaHayim, that rule that if a lady comes and asks us to wear the Tefillin, we discourage them and Yishlim Hot Biyadah.